Don't faint. There is a Liberal Party policy, a coalition policy which is good. We've got a good Liberal Party policy for you today. Yes, we don't do it much. We don't shout their praises much, not much to shout about. But credit where credit's due. Labor should embrace this policy, and that is the ban on foreign ownership of residential property. There is no reason why Labor would not, except that they wanted to see the value of their own investment properties keep rising and appease their financial donors for the party, perhaps. If they were to recuse themselves from the debate, there'd be nobody left in Parliament. The ban on foreign ownership. Yes, the Liberal Party, the coalition policy is only for a couple of years. It's a bit feeble, band-aid stuff, but it is better than nothing. Now, David Pocock bought into the housing debate this morning, the independent senator in Canberra. He put it, is housing for wealth creation or strong communities? I mean, what are the political priorities here? If it's the latter, said Pocock, we have to change our tax system. Hurrah. Pocock's advocating a few measures to fix the injustice, which is housing in Australia, built up over two decades and a bit. In fact, the measures are staring us all in the face. They are obvious. The fix is obvious, but for political will. The essential problem with housing in Australia is financialisation. They've turned it into an investment rather than a roof over the head. It's 25 years of policy failure, turning houses into investments rather than recognising the duty of government to help their citizens have a home. In the end, I mean, it's good if you've got a house, and we're sorry to have to do this to all you people who've got houses and want to keep them seeing going up at 10% a year, more than the stock market returns, but the reality is, in the long run, it's not much good for the country. Now, on the supply side, we'll do demand and supply for a second. Governments don't build as much social housing as they used to. Point blank, just look at the charts on that. There's zoning issues and the provision of infrastructure. They're all key, and Liberal and Labor are basically on the same page on building a bit more infrastructure to create the playing field for new housing developments. But they all ignore the demand side, where the fixes are obvious. The side, the demand side, has turned housing into a wealth creator rather than a roof over the head. Investors, many of them foreign investors, have been rewarded over Australians wanting to buy their first home. Now, it's easy to see in the charts what has happened here. If you look at the way that house prices have diverged, spiraled upwards since around 2000, supply and demand. It's easy to see why demand is too strong, why they have stuffed it up. Because the foreigners are in the market too, and the institutions now bidding against first home buyers. Yes, immigration, excessive immigration needs to be tackled. There is no doubt. But CGT relief was the culprit here under John Howard around the turn of the century, 1999, and you can see the impact. CGT relief turbocharged the negative gearing rort, which is just something for investors, and gave the whole game to investors. Then the flood of foreign money, of course, unchecked, turbocharged that. A lot of it from China, but we won't single out the Chinese here. They just happen to be the biggest investor in, well, one of the biggest, but that's where a lot of the secret money is coming from, parked in Australian property. There's no credible argument. There's just neoliberal theory, but there's no credible argument against stopping foreign ownership. Why not? I mean, who are we governing for here? Foreign investors or local Australians who live here? Let's flip it. Let's flip this. If you want to pop over to China and buy a house, how would you go? Well, in fact, you can buy a house. An Australian can buy a house in China. Foreigners can buy property, but nobody owns the land. The government owns the land in China. They only lease the land, that is the property buyers, from government, their one home, for 70 years, and own the building that is erected on that land. But if the government requires the land for some other purpose, building a railway line, for instance, too bad, you bid farewell to your house in China. Now, how about Indonesia? How about Indo? Well, in Indonesia, you can only lease. You can't own the land. You can get a long-term lease. How about Singapore? Now, here's a model for us. Even Singaporeans themselves, they need to pay an additional buyer's stamp duty, an ABSD rate of 5% when buying their first residential property. When they buy their second, it's 30%, and 35% on the third and subsequent residential property purchases. Why do they do this? so that ordinary citizens of Singapore can own their own home. Sort of makes sense, doesn't it? But foreigners, as for foreigners in Singapore, and this makes incredible sense, they pay a stamp duty rate of 60% on the purchase or acquisition of any residential property. Now here, it's worse because it's a total freebie. The mob in charge of foreign investment, the Foreign Investment Review Board, or FIRB as it's known, is basically a secretive rubber stamp. It's just a few desks at the end of Treasury somewhere. Nobody knows what they do. They don't disclose much. So it is that there's a secrecy on top of all the tax lurks, on top of the super fund lurk using super funds. If you're an investor, retired to buy property, there's a CGT relief. There's the negative gearing. We've exposed it all here a number of times. And there's the money laundering, of course, which they've sought to address. And we've got to get on to that and see how far they've addressed it. No beneficial ownership, I bet. So it is that a lot of foreigners park their money here in tricky trust structures and vehicles which you can't see, controlled by people's lawyers, decades of no AML laws to stop it, to stop the financialization. And foreigners parking their money here and competing at auction on the weekends with first home buyers. The Uni Party has sold the farm. Successive governments have sold the farm, wanting to appease their donors and keep the property party going. And here's another one. This is the news hook here. The chamber looked empty when Liberal Party Senator Andrew Bragg got up to speak this week about the housing affordability crisis.
To have a government in Canberra for almost 3 years to have prioritised giving a tax cut to foreign corporations, foreign fund managers, could be BlackRock, Vanguard, it could be a sovereign wealth fund, to give a tax cut to foreign entities so that they can purchase Australian houses and construct houses in this country that Australians will never, ever own is beyond bizarre.
To quote Andrew, Labor is actively selling out Australia from underneath our feet. Well, these guys presided over, when they were last in government, for ScoMo and Joshy, they presided over $150 billion sale of Australian assets to foreign investors, a lot of them private equity, sort of cufflinked buccaneer types. There was nobody in the chamber to hear Andrew, but it leaked onto Twitter somehow. Somebody captured the video and we saw that. Breaking. They said, Labor are proposing tax cuts on foreign ownership of houses to the likes of BlackRock, Vanguard and other institutional investors. As if BlackRock and Vanguard don't own enough of everything else anyway, most of the share market. Now, how did this come about, this latest thing of which Bragg is referring? Well, it came about because, remember the big legislative rush in November with the Uni Party trying to shove stuff through to get some business done for the year on a couple of days in 1 week? Dozens of bills called the guillotine. No debate, they just shoved all this stuff through and suddenly people are starting to read it now. Oh, we changed some laws. What do they say, these new laws? And so it is that Andrew Bragg got up and pointed out the build to rent rort, which is going on. Now, we won't comment too much on build to rent. It is a viable thing, build to rent. In the US, it's a huge chunk of the real estate market now where institutions own residential property and they rent it out. It solves the problem of roofs overheads. The resi market is now held by banks and investment companies in large part in the US. Do we want that? Well, it's one way of solving the crisis, so we can get on to build to rent later. But the foreign ownership thing is the issue again here. What Bragg is saying effectively is that you're letting BlackRock and Vanguard come in to a new market to own a whole lot of Australian residential property and then to rent it to the hoi polloi. The problem with this, of course, is it just goes further to inequality and corporatisation and corporatocracy. I mean, if you check out the Gini coefficient, that's the measure which measures inequality, it's been rising relentlessly for years. Check out the piece by Harry Chamay we published the other day on the gutting of the middle classes in Australia. As wages have risen a bit, the poor aren't doing too badly. The rich are doing, of course, better than ever. And the middle classes are getting squeezed. Inequality. In the long run, it's going to be a real blight on our democracy. The Build to Rent tax reform bill, which Bragg was talking about, aims to boost investment in apartment blocks designed and constructed for rental occupancy and retained in single ownership. Incentives for investors to support the construction of new build-to-rent developments by increasing the capital works deduction rate to 4% per year. Tax breaks for BlackRock. Tax breaks for Vanguard. My point is, apart from the build-to-rent debate, why not make it for local superannuation funds? Why do we need to give tax breaks to foreign investors? And who knew anyway, till somebody read the new law, which passed with another 20 or 30 bills in November. Meanwhile, there's a boom mic. A boom mic caught Peter Dutton talking about golden ticket visas.
People bring it back in, whether we do it before the election or look at a different design for it,
Golden ticket visas are the lurk which they used to have, where if you got $5 million, you can come in. Don't worry about skills or anything. You'd be a criminal if you want. Maybe not, but just money. So you buy your way into Australia. Oh, that's fantastic. Let a whole lot of foreigners in to buy more property and drive up the prices and squeeze local young people out of the market and old people too. More of the same. Driving prices up to suit those who already have property, to kowtow to investors and lobby groups. Policy fail over 25 years is absolutely clear. It is stark. Now we have the Greens today, Nick McKim, this week coming out with the billionaire tax proposal. Why not? Why should Gina Rinehart have $40 billion? This wealth derived from land owned by the state because her father pegged a whole lot of iron ore leases. Peter Dutton's boss, Gina. When ordinary Australians can't afford a home, Gina's got $40 billion. Well, I don't think it's particularly socialist or unfair to say we need to look at that in the end. I mean, look what's going on in the US with the oligarchy. The plutocracy, which is the US, it's just relentless. Elon Musk, all the tech oligarchs now running the show with Trump. Tax breaks, tariffs to crush the world economy and drive up prices for ordinary Americans in order to pass on tax breaks to his corporate mates. I mean, it is bizarre and ridiculous. Doge. So we support the Greens having a look at this. I mean, the Greens have got some good policies, but, and they're getting rubbished, obviously, as being sort of Hamas by Liberal Labor and all the lobby groups out there like Advance Australia. But the fact is, they can fix their policies up a bit more, but they're better than the Uni Party on many fronts, including housing. The answers are clear. We just point, well, we've got you to another sector where foreign financialization has happened, and that is the music industry. Check out Josh Barnett's piece on the decline of the Australian music industry and local content because of foreign multinational companies, Apple Music, that kind of thing, Spotify. Meanwhile, in Canberra, there's all the hate crimes distraction. We've got some stuff on that on the website here. Yes, it's got to be addressed, but should be equally not just one group of people, but racist behaviour generally. So free speech is going down the gurgler there, incrementally. But all this stuff's a bit of a distraction, really, when it gets down to what counts for people, and that is cost of living, good government, affordable housing, and these kind of things. All that stuff on the website if you want to see our CGT relief coverage, negative gearing, Harry Chamay. The answers are clear. What is missing is the political will.